Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. This evening, we have Ilan Kornblum, the founder, editor, and publisher of Great Kosher Restaurants magazine. Good evening, Ilan.
Good evening. How are you, Chaim?
Baruch Hashem. Your magazine has proved to me to be an incredible asset as I travel around the country, as I travel to other places. It always finds me a place where I can eat, a place I can rely on.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I guess our hard work has paid off, so I got your endorsement. That's all we need.
So tell me, how did you get to this? How did the idea come about? I understand you obviously like food, but what else?
Right. So I like food, but it actually started about 10 years ago. I was already doing advertising and marketing. I was selling commercial time in TV and radio in a private firm in Manhattan. And I went to an engagement party and met, we were just talking, schmoozing with different people, and met this guy who actually does a non-kosher restaurant magazine called Great Restaurants of Long Island. So we got to speak, and one thing led to the other, and basically, cut it short, I thought this was a great idea for the kosher market. And we worked out the details. I was able to take his magazine around to the restaurant to show people what it's going to look like. And, 10 years ago, fast forward to today, and thank God, our eighth issue just came out a couple of weeks ago. And thank God it keeps me very busy. A lot going on in the restaurant world, but yeah, I didn't really start off in the food business. I was in marketing. I went to college, Brooklyn College, advertising in TV and radio and advertising and marketing, and that's my forte, the marketing point of view. And I kind of fell into being a foodie, being around now for 10 years, over 500 restaurants that I've visited. It's kind of, been a progression, and while I'm not a chef or I went to culinary school, but I think I give a point of view of the layman, of what everyone, the everyday person, what they like, what they don't like, what they, in terms of service and food. And so I kind of have both sides, where I've become a marketing guy and also now a food guy.
Very good. But obviously you must have traveled all over the place, not just for advertising, but also to find this restaurant. How did that come
so
about?
The restaurant,
that must have been a very expensive beginning.
Well, yeah, in the beginning, again, it was never been really done before in the kosher market. People, again, who've kind of seen restaurants, whether they've seen black and white pictures, they've seen a listing of an address and a phone number, and that's it. It's something that the internet really wasn't as huge as it was, as it is today, but there wasn't really a resource that people can look for in terms of beautiful pictures and menus and articles and a comprehensive guide in terms of the finest kosher restaurant. So luckily it was something that came at the right time. It was restaurants were just really hitting its peak 10 years ago in terms of Prime Grill, and obviously there's been restaurants around for many years, but you have Mike's Bistro and Lavana has been around for decades. They've closed now, but they were around. Abigail's was around, but really
Lavana
about 10
is
years
the one
ago,
who started the revolution. Let's face it.
Exactly.
Before her,
exactly. So
was,
they were
well, brisket and gefilte fish.
Right, right. So they, you know, they were kind of the exception to the rule. It was, there were a handful of really nice, you know, fine kosher restaurants in Manhattan mostly. You weren't finding too many around the country. If you want, people wanted to go to a five-star restaurant, Manhattan was the place. And then since then, you know, you're having places like in Brooklyn and Long Island, New Jersey, and Florida and California really have come about really amazing stuff that they put together in terms of the chefs have grown. We have these top chefs now, and I probably attribute that to the Food Network. It's probably gotten people interested in food. I think the kosher palate has been more educated, more sophisticated in terms of the kosher consumer. So the kind of what we started with the magazine has allowed us to keep going because the kosher restaurant market has been climbing. And in terms of the magazine, and now thank God we have one of the most popular websites in the world for kosher restaurants.
Absolutely.
We have a deal site. We have a lot of things that are going around that, you know, people are appreciating because we're putting restaurants in a light, you know, quote unquote, in terms of high quality pictures and being able to show people that kosher restaurants can be just as beautiful, just as nice as, you know, any other restaurants.
Well, as a matter of fact, your magazine with the photography, with the cover, with the inside covers and all that, shows that kosher restaurants are on par with restaurants of any other type. And I am sure that in price as well as in decor, they certainly compare favorably with all the others.
Yeah, again, obviously, you know, from my standpoint of in only kosher, so it's hard for me to gauge in terms of what non-kosher, but what I've heard and what I've seen is, yes, you know, we're still far back. There's no question the kosher market, I'm always thinking, is 5 years behind the non-kosher, you know, restaurants. Look at sushi. Sushi's been around for, obviously, thousands of years, and,
right,
and non-kosher restaurant for decades, but it's only took root in the last 10 years in the kosher market. So we're getting there. There's, you know, like I mentioned with the restaurants, you have Reserve Cut that just opened up recently that's, you know, can certainly be on par with a lot of the non-kosher restaurants. And even in Brooklyn, Glatt a la Carte and T-Fusion and restaurants at Pardes, you know, we're talking about so many great restaurants out there that people really hopefully do appreciate and don't take it for granted. It's, you know, the restaurants do work hard. And, you know, again, we want them to be successful and to be around for many years.
Now, talking about that, what exactly is it that some restaurants, in spite of great beginnings, soon peter out, and others continue to get better and better and better? What is the secret?
All right, so it's a combination. It's, you know, it's not so much of a secret because you think that, you know, there's a science to it, but it really is a combination of many things, and you have to have some mazel. You have to have luck. That's no question in terms of, you know, not having, God forbid, something disastrous happening and something that you can't foresee. But certainly, you know, the real estate adage of location, location, location is apropos, but a great kosher restaurant, I think, trumps location. Again, look at Pardes. You know, they're on Atlantic Avenue where there aren't too many Jews walking around.
Right.
You know, but people come from all over because it's a destination restaurant. People want to try his food.
Because the food is great.
Want to experience that.
The chef isn't just a chef. He's basically an artist.
Right. Right. And, you know, this, and people, when I tell people about Pardes, and I say, it's not a traditional restaurant where you're going to get, you
not
know, an
all.
Appetizer, entree, and dessert. You know, it's an experience. So for him, especially, and this is a great example of what, you know, why some restaurants are successful. And you're talking about Manhattan, and you're talking about many other restaurants. So I think it's a combination, obviously, of a great chef, It has to be, you have to have capital. You have to have some money going in. You can't go into a restaurant the first year feeling that you're going to make it and it's going to take you all the way. You got to know the first year is the toughest. They say it takes 3 years to make a profit. I don't know. If it takes 3 years to make a profit, it's going to be very difficult. You got to have a lot of capital to be able to sustain that. But certainly you have to have, you know, some money going in and investing, but the management, I think, is almost as important as the food, to have a good team. You know, I've seen a lot of restaurants who have had very good chefs, good food, but it's not run well. You know, either the owner is not there, absentee, but or the manager doesn't have experience. The service is lacking. You know, I've gone to restaurants and people have told me that if they go to a restaurant and, you know, the food is not so good, but the service is terrific. They might say, okay, you know what? Maybe I didn't order the right thing. Maybe it wasn't something that I like. I'll order something else. And they'll go back because they feel the service was good. It's a good restaurant. Maybe I'll try something else. But if they go to a restaurant and even if the food is good, but if the service is horrible, if they're waiting for an hour and God forbid, their service is rude and they just have a horrible time, they're not going to go back because there's plenty of other restaurants they can go to where you have good food. No one wants to go to a restaurant and they have to wait and, you know, they have to, you know, be uncomfortable. So service is pretty much right up there with food. You really need to have a good team that's, you know, on the ball, that is trained. A lot of these restaurants train their waiters, which is really important. And so, again, a combination of food, service, location, that's really going to take you far. And, of course, you need to be creative and think out of the box and change your menu every, you know, few months. A lot of these restaurants have seasonal menus, which really is terrific because that's you get fresh ingredients for the season. People come back. They want to try different things. That's what people come back for.
Another error that a lot of these restaurants make, and we've seen that in some of those that have closed recently, is that once they think that they have captured an audience, they get rid of the chef, replace him with a cook, and it's downhill from there onwards.
Yeah. The chefs, you know, if anyone knows any chefs, and we all love chefs, but they could be a little temperamental and they're hard to, you know,
they can be temperamental
the
and they are not cheap, but you can't expect.
Yeah, exactly. And a good one is not cheap.
Once you already got an audience, that you can't expect that by getting rid of the chef, you still get him to come forever.
Right.
There is something
right.
to be said
notice
about
that. People
the quality.
Know.
Of course.
Yeah, again, I think the ones that have been lasting the longest have had the chefs for a long time because, you know, people like to be, it has to be consistent as well. You know, you go to a restaurant
Absolutely.
And you do love a dish, you want to go back 6 months later and get that same dish, you know,
and
the same way
you
had
it. Taste the same way.
Exactly. So that's important. And, again, you need to – it goes back to having a team. You need to have a great chef, a great sous chef, a line cook, all the way down to the busboy, clearing the tables. It really is, a team effort. And you hold on to it. If you right, like you said, if it's a good chef, you got to hold on to it. Can't take anything for granted. And the next day, you know, competition is always around you, and you always have to up your game. And that's, in fact, what we do with the magazine. We're always trying to improve. We're always trying to come up with new things. You know, get the reader intrigued and interested. And you know, there's a whole cycle of openings and closings, and it's amazing what goes on in the restaurant industry.
Right.
It's never dull.
Talking about the magazine, I am holding in my hands four different editions of your magazine, including the latest one that just came out 2 weeks ago.
Right, and
in
fact, for the readers, you know, a half hour ago,
yes,
I just want to let you know, a half hour ago, Chaim didn't even have the magazine with him because it came out a couple of weeks ago, so we went to Estihana around the corner and picked up the magazine, so I'm glad you were able to get it.
Absolutely.
That was funny.
Now, what's interesting is as I'm looking through the magazine, you definitely can see the evolution from the earliest issue until the present. Not only do you have more restaurants, but aside from that, even the restaurants that you already had all the way back, the photography in the current issue is much, much better, much, much nicer. It gives me a bigger feel for the atmosphere. Even if I've never went to that restaurant, I almost feel like I'm there, like I'm looking at it.
Exactly, and I appreciate that. That's really why I started the magazine, was to kind of give people a window into the restaurant. You know, a lot of times people are not going into the restaurant. Sometimes, you know, obviously the door, you can't really go into it, and you drive by, you walk by, you can't see what it looks like inside. So what we've done is, you know, and I appreciate it, it takes about an hour. And I know, Chaim, by the way, and I have to applaud you on your pictures as well, they're fantastic. And people think, you know, you take a picture of a restaurant, you go in for a second, you take a picture, and you leave. It's not like that. You know, it takes, you got to make sure that it's set up, it's set up nicely. You got to move things around. And that's people, you know, it's funny. People say to me, the restaurant doesn't look like it does in the magazine. You know, I said, well, there's no trick photography. There's no Photoshop. I just make sure the restaurant looks what it should look like, neat and clean. You know, silverware is the right way. I have a wide-angle shot that I take. I try to get as far back as I can in the corner to really capture the essence of the restaurant. But certainly, with the evolution of photography in terms of camera, that has helped in terms of the printing so that really kind of allows us to really show what the restaurant is all about, what it looks like, and. Yeah, we've come a long way.
Now, I am sure that over the years of doing this, you must have come across some interesting, some funny anecdotes. You must have a lot of those. Can we hear any?
Yeah. Well, again, I've been to, thank God, Paris and London and Israel, and I was in Argentina this past October, and South Africa. So I've been around, and that's kind of what I need to do, is to be able to get the pulse of the restaurant industry. So that's been fun. That's been interesting. But in terms of funny anecdotes, well, you know what? I people call me up all the time for restaurants. That's kind of what I wanted to do also 10 years ago, is, you know, self-proclaimed restaurant guy. So I'm called the restaurant guy. People used to say, oh, you're the restaurant guy? Yeah, I'm the restaurant guy. So it's stuck. So people call me up every day practically asking for recommendations and for suggestions. Like, people call me up at 11 o'clock at night. They're lost. They're in Times Square. They don't know where to go. All right, I'll pick up sometimes. Sometimes I'll let it go to voicemail. But I've had people call me up, and one person called me up and says, I'm going on a date. Where should I go? So we ask him, okay, and it's so funny, by the way. I know when someone's calling for a date, when they phrase it like this, I want to go to a restaurant where no one is there. I don't want to see anyone. So then they're going on a date. They don't want to see anyone who's going to watch them. So, you know, people have called me up for dates. In fact, someone called me up, and again, I told them where to go. And then my sister was on a date, and she says, oh, how'd you pick this restaurant? So her date says, oh, the restaurant guy told me. That's my brother. So it's funny how it's come full circle. Thank God people have asked me and trusted me and their suggestions. I've, again, in terms of dates, I've helped people first date, second date. The guy calls me up saying, it's going great. Give me for a third date and fourth date. So hopefully maybe I'll be invited to one of these chasanas one of these days for being able to help them through the dating process.
Actually, I also get some of those calls sometimes, and yes, I have been invited to quite a few cousins of people I would never have known had it not been for my blood.
Right.
So I know.
Amazing what restaurants, and that's kind of also, it's really nice. And now, this is not something that I even thought of when I started, was, you know, it's obviously it's a service, but it's also helping people. It's people really, if they're lost, and people have memories from restaurants and birthdays and anniversaries and Sheva Brachas, and it's really important to them to be able to go to a place that they like and they have a good time. So they do trust me, and they want to know, you know, where's there a restaurant to go to, and, you know, again, I really try to ask them different questions of what they're looking for. I don't roll off 20 different restaurants. I try to really find out what they're looking for and kind of find, you know, get the perfect restaurant for them.
As I'm looking through the magazine, I see that you even have some in Israel, which is interesting because I will be going there during the summer. At least now I know where I can eat, where I can take my kids out. I also see that
again,
you have some
we can probably
in
do a,
my mother country,
in
Argentina.
Israel. Argentina, sure.
My mother country.
That's, first time I was ever there, very interesting, nice, you know, again, in Argentina, you have, that's the land of meat, you know, I got a steak, I think it was 2.1 kilo, if I'm not mistaken, it was over 3 pounds, it was a steak at ASEAN, and it's actually in the magazine, I took a picture with the owner, and I wrapped it up, it's huge, and so that's, meat is plentiful
actually,
there.
Actually, 2 kilos is way more than 3 pounds. It's 2 kilos is roughly about 5 pounds.
Seriously? Okay. So then it was a 5-pound steak. I could not finish it, that's for sure.
That's for sure, right? In fact, when I lived down there before coming to the country, the non-Jews would have meat 3 times a day because beef was the cheapest thing there was. As Jews, we had to settle for just lunch and dinner, lunch being a very big meal with the family, especially since it's right before the siesta in the afternoon.
Right. Well, I can't imagine. How do they eat meat so much? What's their cholesterol level? You know?
Well,
first of all,
the meat over there does not get any of the garbage chemicals that they feed the cows over here.
Right.
Everything is done the natural way. Cows live a lot longer than they live in the States. The average dairy cow, for example, which is used strictly for milk, in the States lives 5 to 6 years. Among the Amish, the exact same cow, which is fed in a natural way, will live up to 25 years. And the meat coming from that cow, obviously, is a lot healthier without all the garbage that it's been fed.
Yeah. No, that's true. And again, I think also your body is used to it. I think, you know, it's also you kind of that's the lifestyle, and you kind of adjust to it.
Right.
If you live there.
Plus the fact that in South America people walk around much more than in the States, so it's exercise.
Right. Sure.
For example, when I was growing up, the big thing in Jewish food was gribenes. Any doctor today will tell you that gribenes is a triple bypass in a plate. And the incidence of heart attack in South America in my days was very, very small compared to the States, in spite of all the unhealthy food. Why? Because we walked. We didn't take the car just to drive it to the supermarket 2 blocks away.
Yeah. Yeah, everything, especially in America, is supersizing me, you know? They want the big plates. They want, you know, but that's it's the lifestyle. But,
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about the magazine. It has places from all over, from Eretz Yisrael, from London, from Paris, Argentina, and other places, and throughout the States, and I believe Canada. Yes.
Yeah, it's broken down by city and state. Obviously, Manhattan, Brooklyn, five towns, New Jersey. Those where most of the restaurants are in America, and that's where I live, and so it's a little easier to feature all of those. But we're always looking for interesting places, and we have a place in Mexico and Cancun, with Italy, some interesting places.
So let me ask you this. The restaurants, there are restaurants in almost every price range. But how do you decide that a restaurant is the type of restaurant that you want to have in your magazine?
So it's got to be Shomer Shabbos. That's one. You know, we take that very seriously. It's not a restaurant that I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't put into the magazine. So that's first. Second, again, it does have to be, a quality restaurant. And we base the restaurants on our recommendations, other people's recommendations, reviews, what I've heard. We do market them, so there is a small fee in terms of because we have the website and we have Facebook and the newsletter and we have an app. So there's a lot of things that go into it to be able to afford to do a magazine like this. But certainly, it has to be a restaurant that has a good reputation. I try as much as I can to go to the restaurant myself and, eat there and talk to the owner. And it's what I've really tried to put together in terms of the magazine. It's a directory. It's information.
Right.
We try not to, say this restaurant is the best in the world, and we don't say this restaurant is the worst. It's
right.
About information. We talk about when they opened, a little bit about the chef, a little bit about the owner, the ambiance, what their specialties are, what we recommend you get, a little anecdotes if it's something interesting. And then you have the menu that we put into the magazine, about 15 items that is usually always there. Of a sample menu, and then you have all information that anyone needs, the address, phone number, the website, the hours, the supervision, credit cards, and they're open for sukkahs. And then, you have a nice big picture of the restaurant that's there. So it really gives people an overview of what they can expect, before they even get there. And people on Shabbos, and people even say to me, oh, why do you put a magazine together? You're big on the website. Why don't you stick with the website? And digitally, everything is going there. But, thank God we have a great reputation. It's a niche market. People like to look at it. People like to hold it, over Shabbos. They look through it, and they just see what restaurants they haven't been to, and they have, and they discuss it, and it really gets people talking. People love to talk about restaurants and food. It brings people together. That's a common denominator of most people is food. So it really gives people a sense of, again, what they can expect. And that's what I provide. It's information that they can look at, and this way they can make an educated decision of where they want to go. So that's kind of how I break it down.
There is also something else I like about your magazine. On the back, you have recipes from some of the chefs, recipes
right.
that anybody can make at home.
Right. That's something that's also unique. There's a lot of cookbooks out there, and I read a lot of them. This one, what we do with the magazine in every year is, yes, we take about, 15, 16 chefs and get their recipes that you can't find anywhere else. And it really is something interesting because you want to know how these recipes are done. You speak to the chef, and, it allows you to kind of get a peek into their world, what it takes to put, this dish together. And some of it's a little complicated. There's no question. That's why they're culinary geniuses, and they've gone to culinary school for most of them. But it really gives a very interesting point of view of, what it takes to put this dish together. And so people can definitely see that on our website. Also, we have some recipes from throughout the years that we've put onto our site, and people can see and can see pictures and the ingredients. So certainly that's something that's a huge feature, in fact, on our website and in the magazine that people love to look at.
As I'm looking through the recipes, you have, for example, from Le Marais, braised spiced lamb shank with celeriac puree. And I've tasted it. It's an incredible dish. And at the same time, from another restaurant, for example, the Asian spring roll with cucumber, mango, relish, and sweet spicy dipping sauce. Again, I've had it, and it's incredible. It's absolutely delicious. You really know how to choose the right recipes for the magazine.
Yeah, again, we're doing different. I want to, like you said, we have short ribs, we have spring rolls, we have lamb shank,
mm-hmm.
and we have different.
Right.
We have a salad.
Even
we have
cornbread.
Yemenite soup. Really, yeah, cornbread from Milt's Barbecue. In fact, yes, that's a very cool, recipe, and he's a really good guy and good chef. And so certainly it really is, a gamut of different dishes that people can kind of find and be interested in looking at.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and we're just about out of time, so I want to thank you for being on our show. I found it very, very interesting, very, very educational. I'd love to do it again soon.
Thank you. If you don't mind, maybe give out the website so people can kind of take a look and where they can
Absolutely.
Get the magazine. So let me just put out...
Why don't you tell us where people can pick up your magazine?
All right. So the best way right now is you can go onto our website. We have a deal site, which we didn't even get a chance to speak about, but you can go to greatkosherdeals.com. It's greatkosherdeals.com. We have deals for restaurants, over 175 restaurants you can get discount certificates for, and you can just get the magazine right there. We're actually doing a special where you can get two copies of the magazine. Each copy is normally $6. So we're giving two copies of the magazine so you can give that to someone. And with shipping, it's $10. So you're saving on the magazine and you're saving free shipping. So you can go to greatkosherdeals.com, put in the word magazine in the search. You'll be able to find it. That you can get the for deals. And then in terms of the restaurants, you go to greatkosherrestaurants.com. to find out over 250 of the top kosher restaurants with menus and pictures and articles, really fantastic. And, of course, our Facebook page.
And you even have a 3D magazine that you can flip through the pages that looks just like
exactly,
the real magazine,
exactly.
Like the print magazine.
Right. So people can get in, kind of get a view of what it looks like. But in terms of we have the newsletter, we have Facebook, there's so many different things that, you know, thank God we have our hands in, and it's, thank God, Baruch Hashem, everything's going very nicely.
Okay, and we want to thank you for being on our show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and tune us in again next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Thank you very much,
Chaim.
And good night, one and all.
Great night, have a good one.